This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا محمد رسولا إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالاً كثيراً ونساءاً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيباً يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولاً سديداً يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remind one another and testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah, that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself and you of Taqwallah Azza wa Jal, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I a genuineness of piety and righteousness, that we seek to be pleasing to Allah, fearing of Allah, loving of Allah, hoping of Allah's mercy in our privacy and private life more than we seek to show each other publicly. Allahumma ameen. Today is the final Khutbatul Jumu'ah for our 2020 academic year here at the Langford Islamic College. And alhamdulillah, it is also the final of the three-part series about the psychology of redemption, of how to make yourself better, of how to fix a mistake when things have not gone the way they should, of how to come back from wrong when you have erred and when you have misstepped and when you have misspoken or misconducted or acted in a way that is unbecoming of your culture, of your family, of your reputation, and more importantly, of your faith as a Muslim, a submitter, a slave to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the first two times we met, I spoke to you about step number one is self-confrontation, that you are your greatest examiner, you are your greatest critique, you are the one who holds yourself accountable through your own eyes, not out of your worry of what others see of you or hear of you. And this is something taught to us by Allah in the Quran, where He tells us on the Day of Judgment that our own bodies will be the ones who testify against us. وَكَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ شَهِيدًا. You are enough of a witness against or for yourself on the Day of Judgment. Second, we spoke after recognizing a fault, an error, a mistake, a misstep, something that we said or did or believed, that now we want to come back from it. We said that after understanding our error and admitting it, is now coming to the point of self-control and self-regulation, where I say to myself, my body is my own, my eyes are my own, my tongue is my own, no one will be responsible for it more so than me. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. That no one will carry the burden, the mistake, the sin of another. And that the buck stops with me as it does with you, that you will be the one who has to take charge of fixing your mistake after recognizing it. And from that second step, I begin with you today. The third, and probably the most significant step,
after knowing I've done wrong and attempting to bring control to myself and understanding that I am the one that can make that choice to make the change. Number three, the essential commitment to being a reformed and a redeemed and a repentant person. Number three is self-sacrifice. That I recognize I must give something up. That I can't have the good and the bad exist within me at the same time. And Allah says in the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab that in no human heart, in no human being can there exist two hearts, two thoughts, two brains that lead one wanting good and the other seeking evil. And Allah says to us in the Quran, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِي جَوْفِ. No one has been given inside of themselves فِي قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. Two hearts in any one person. One must outdo the other. And I remember one of my teachers when I was your age or a little bit older than me saying to me, Yahya, think of anything in life that the moment you push something out, something else comes in its place. So as you pour water out of this bottle, out of this jug, and he had a jug with him, he said, as you pour water out, you might think that it's water that's coming out, but what you fail to recognize is that air is taking its place. Something else always takes the place of what has left. And if your heart does not contain the Quran, something else takes its place. And if you remove that other stuff from your heart, it is only then that the Quran can take its place. You must be able and willing to sacrifice from some of the things you love, whether they're good or bad for you to attain a higher level with Allah, with society, with your studies, with your memorization, with your akhlaq. You can't be always the most beloved to people if you are not willing to earn and break people's heart by speaking to the truth to them, even if they don't like it. You will not be loved in the way that Allah wants you to be loved if all you do is say what's good and ignore condemning what's wrong. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. We must, yes, tell people what's right, but at the same time, we must restrict them from what's wrong. And restricting yourself from what's wrong is one of the first places of sacrifice. Everybody enjoys that which the heart desires. There is no man, healthy man, that does not have a healthy sexual desire. There's no healthy young person except that they're intrigued by somebody of the opposite sex. And as you grow older, as you sit in front of me, all of you young men, high school students, as you grow older, that desire continues to build. But you must sacrifice. You must push from yourself, from the haram towards the halal. And you must work hard to eliminate the pathways that lead you to the haram. The opportunities that lead you to haram. Every single khutbat al-jumu'ah that I've spoken to you, I always began with this dua. I always said, may Allah allow our private life to have in it greater love for Him, fear of Him, and hope in His mercy than what we seek to show each other publicly. What will make you a good man is not what people see of you. It's what Allah knows of you that others don't know of you. It's your private life where you sacrifice your desire, your needs, the things that you might crave that you know you should restrict so that you are pleasing to Allah. And that's why one of the essential lessons of our faith, one of the five pillars of Islam, is to learn to give up drinking and eating halal water and things that are permissible for us so that we can learn if I can leave off the halal to please Allah, I can surely stay away from the haram to please Allah even more. May Allah allow us to be from those who develop self-confrontation, self-examination, understand our mistake when it's made, that we develop a self-control that allows us to give and sacrifice from ourselves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Self-sacrifice isn't only about yourself. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and from a distance he could see the Messenger of Allah ﷺ playing with his grandchildren. And the Prophet ﷺ loved Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, and he referred to them as the best of the young people who will enter Jannah, because they were destined to die in a young age. They would never reach maturity. And it was something that would always hurt the Prophet ﷺ. He would say that they will be shabab, young people in Jannah. And this man, his name is Abbas, he saw the Prophet ﷺ playing with his grandkids. And he came up to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li ashra awlad. I've been blessed with 10 children. And not once did I ever play with them the way that I see you playing. Running around with them, chasing them, coming down to their level. You're the Messenger of Allah. The assumption was that he would always be serious, but the Prophet ﷺ enjoyed playing with levity with these young, beautiful children, his grandchildren. The Prophet turned to him and he said, what can I do to a man who Allah has removed mercy from his heart? So the man said, O Messenger of Allah, what can I do to return mercy in my heart? At this moment, when you read this hadith, you think that the Prophet would say, it's easy, go play with your children. Go enjoy company with your children. That's not what the Prophet says. The Prophet says to him, if you want that mercy to be in your heart, don't begin with yourself, don't begin with your children. Find a young orphan. Somebody who doesn't have a father, who doesn't have a mother, who doesn't have somebody like your children have in you. And if all you can do is reassure him by putting your hand on his head, Allah will allow mercy to enter your heart. Self-sacrifice doesn't begin by looking after yourself, meeting your own needs, looking after what I want and what I need in life. It looks after serving others, beginning with others. The Prophet ﷺ said, the last person to eat should be the one who is serving people. You know, if you're the one who stands at the table and you're like, okay, I'm going to serve everyone, it's natural to say, hey, the food's going to run out. Let me put a couple of chicken legs on the side because I want to make sure I get something. The Prophet ﷺ said, the last one to eat, the last one to serve himself is the one who's serving others. I leave you with this final hadith. The Prophet sent a man to go and make hijrah, to go and collect zakah from a distant city. And after the man collected the zakah on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ, the people of the city were so happy that they were able to do the rites of Allah, and the Prophet made it easy for them. He sent them someone who traveled, who was going to be responsible for their zakah. So then, as he was leaving, they said, we gave you these sheep and goats for zakah. We want to give you this sheep as a gift to you. So the man took it. He doesn't know any better. And he took that gift and he went away. And when he came to Al-Madinah, and they took the sheep all to be put in the treasury of the Muslim Ummah, the man said, O Messenger of Allah, I was given this one sheep and it's marked as a gift to me. The Prophet became angry. He said, would they have given you that sheep if you sat in your home here and didn't go to collect the zakah? The man said, no. He said, then this is not your right. It was given to you because of the job you're already paid for. Return it back to the Muslim community. This is how you and I see honesty. Now, I know you're going to say, Brother Yahya, actually one of my students, he just gave me some cookies now. I'm not going to share all those cookies with you. Do you know why? Because at the end of the job, he's given this in hope that he's delivering it. He was still in the commission of the job. But if you were to give a box of chocolates to your teacher in acknowledgement after they taught you, then it's acceptable. Why would I not accept a gift from you at the beginning of the year? Because even if I'm not going to be influenced, even if I say, inshallah, I'm not going to be influenced, I want you to see how important it is to self-sacrifice. Even if I'm not going to be influenced, maybe 3 of you give a gift and 10 of you don't. Even if my heart is a stable heart of a Muslim, there might be a time where I incline out of love because of the gift you gave me towards you in a way that's unfair to the others who didn't give me a gift, not because they don't like me, but because they don't have the means. So as a part of our faith and culture as Muslims, we do not receive gifts while we are doing a job for the payment that we are receiving of it. These are high ethics that you and I have as Muslims. And that's why when I want you to see how hard your teachers work, how hard our community seeks to bring a level of understanding of Islam towards your heart, don't look at it in just that way. I know there was one student, and I don't know if the family were upset, and I know they're sitting here today. I didn't explain it to them as much as I could. They said, Sheikh, we want to buy some of your books and give it in donation. I said, I'm sorry, I don't sell it like that. You can buy it from the website, not from me. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because it's favoritism to me. It's unacceptable. Know that as a Muslim, you have to establish al-qist. And even you must sacrifice of yourself for the betterment of others. If you borrow a textbook from one of your friends, and you have a test and they have a test, if it's going to be that you fail or they fail, it is better for you to fail and return the amana than they fail because you are unjust. May Allah open our hearts to redeeming ourselves, to beginning the next year in a good way, to establishing the ethics and the morality of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't ever take that which doesn't belong to you. Don't ever look to something that isn't yours. Don't ever crave that which is not in your right. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us not to oppress each other. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad. May Allah protect our staff and our students, our school and our teachers, our parents and our friends committee. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead our board and its administrators and management to that which is pleasing to Him and turn us away from that which is not. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa aqim as-salah.